Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and about what's next. It's a show that wants to ask questions, peel back the layers of our average everyday experience, and go beyond scratching the surface. We interview amazing people with incredible ideas and stories who have done wild, weird, and wonderful things. Remember that imagination shared creates collaboration, and collaboration creates community, and community inspires social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face. My next interview at the Toronto Film Festival is with Marie Noël and her film Marie Curie, The Courage of Knowledge, subtitled The Courage of Knowledge. What a wonderful film, beautiful film, sensuous film, and it's about so many things. And of course, it's historically, it's a piece of historical of filmmaking as well, but it's also about relationships and about family and about love and about generosity and altruism and structure. I mean, there's just so many things that come up in this film, and I think you're going to really enjoy the interview today with Marie Noël, and it was the world premiere at the Toronto International Film Festival, so make sure you check it out. It's the kind of film that you can enjoy. It's enjoy, but it's the kind of film you can also, I think, write about it. We talk about the beauty of silence and about integrity, and we talk about that, you know, you can't be a genius scientist or artist if you're not, you know, if you're not rooted. We talk about play and the Curie therapy and what it means and how we could all use a dose of it or two, metaphorically. So stay tuned. And if you're looking for more interviews about TIFF, check it out, rabble.ca, or my own website, davidpecklive.com. Also, more information there about my book, Real Change is Incremental. And if you want to book me to speak, you can find out more information there about that. Stay tuned for Marie Noël talking about her film, Marie Curie, The Courage of Knowledge. Well, welcome to Face to Face. We're joined by a very special guest today, live and actually face to face and in person here, Marie Noël, the director of Marie Curie, subtitled The Courage of Knowledge. Here in Toronto, at the Hilton Inn. In fact, I hope you don't reprimand me too much, Maddie, for being late for our interview. But thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me to talk about Marie Curie and the courage of knowledge.
I'm fascinated by the subtitle. As a bit of an academic over the years, yeah. I've written lots of essays and things, and I always spent a lot of time on subtitles of my essays. Tell me about why does it take courage to know?
Oh, it takes a lot of courage. A lot of courage to face yourself with, I mean, to investigate life. I think it's something, that's why people very often remain on the surface and reproduce what they have seen right and left, I mean, of themselves, and don't go into things. Because to go into things, you might discover things which you won't like or which will hurt. And I think it's a very human thing to be afraid of being hurt. I think lots of people don't really live properly because they are afraid of being hurt. And they don't realize that by being afraid of anything in life, I mean, you're missing a lot of this life. And I think, I mean, that you have to confront yourself. Pain and is part of life, and like death is part of life. But it's nothing you should be sad. Of course, you can mourn about the loss of someone and things like that. But you have to face it, because life.
So in a sense, the courage to know in this is not so much about empiricism or scientific knowledge. This is about knowing, becoming better humans, or knowing ourselves even more.
I think, that was something that Marie Curie and all the group, they were humanists, and that's what fascinated me. But the courage of knowledge is not only that. That's one facet of this courage of being better humans. I mean, they tried, all of them, Pierre Curie, Marie Curie, Paul Langevin, all this group, Jean Perrin, many other scientists of this time, which was a very exciting time for science.
Right.
And they tried to be the better beings they could be. I mean, the best one they could be. And they tried, they were convinced that what they are doing is useful for humanity. I mean, that they could bring some progress. Today, the notion of progress is something which you're afraid of. I mean, I don't know. Each time there is a new discovery, you only hear about the negative side of this discovery. You don't just look at the discovery itself, which is per se, we know very little. Like in your brain, you only use a little part of your brain. I mean, in life is the same thing. You have so many things to discover, but now, you think, it brings something wrong, or I don't know what. So I think they did not have that at all. They went into there. They were fascinated by these elements which would radiate from themselves. They thought, how is that possible?
It must have been an incredible discovery, really.
Yeah.
The irony of the danger of what it was they were touching and holding on to.
But it's not only dangerous. That's what I wanted to show too. I mean, is that it was not only dangerous. Of course it's dangerous, but like you said, and that's something Marie Curie said, I mean, when man discovered fire.
That's right.
I mean, he burned himself.
Got burned.
But what would we do without that?
Yes.
And I think that's exactly the didactic, the dialectic of
the
things.
Dialectic,
that you don't have bad good. There is no black and white. There is an infinity of nuances.
I love the way you bring out her. You humanize her so much. Typically, when you hear of a famous scientist who's won 2 Nobels, who's done something that many other people haven't done, and as a woman during that time, and as you show, it would have been so difficult.
It was quite
difficult today.
But it's still the same today. I mean, that's why I think that's why I choose to do this movie, because it was not only, of course, I have a fascination for Marie Curie since I'm a child, and when I heard about this story of the affaire Langevin, I can't believe that you can treat a woman who already had a Nobel Prize, who did such an important work, and like this way, like a war. I mean, it was so brutal what I read about it that I thought, hey, it's always the same. I mean, we're equals, but not equals. Man and woman, they are different. And I see it myself. I mean, I encounter that today, and I encounter, it's very strange that women who are successful businesswomen, they like very much this movie. Because they encounter things, they can identify, because they have on other levels, of course. But they know what we are talking about.
What I love about what you did with her character, Marie Noelle, is you really humanized her as a scientist. So she was a brilliant mother, an attentive wife.
Yeah.
She was loving. The moment for me, I mean, almost brought a tear to my the apple in the train station.
Yeah.
This was a woman who had a generous heart and brilliant.
Yeah.
And typically, when I think of scientists, especially somebody like Marie Curie, you don't kind of think of them as being human. Almost, they're Nobel winners. They're out there, and it kind of comes up in the film a little bit, right? The idea that scientists aren't in the real world. Well, everything about Marie Curie was she was totally rooted.
But I think you can't be a genius scientist if you're not rooted in life.
Mm.
And I think you can't be a genius artist if you're not rooted in life. Mm. I think it's very important, because that's your source. And Marie Curie, she wanted to know more about life. And she was happy to be able. I mean, she was completely conscious of her talent. in physics and chemistry and mathematics. But she wanted to put, so it, she thought it's a duty for her to put this talent at the service of discovering more things and helping those who have perhaps less talents, because that's something which is not democratic. Talent comes like that.
Right,
you have
right.
it or not. You
right,
can't choose
right.
it. You can't acquire it. You can't buy it. Nothing. So it's that's the injustice of when you're born like you're born. You know, it's, but then you have, you can, you're responsible for that. And you have to use it for something. That's what they thought, all of this group, which were incredibly talented physicists. But what I think as well, because knowing the world of research from my other life before being a filmmaker, I think, of course, scientists are very human. Because they have the same thing. You have the ones which are, who have lots of vanity. The others
sure,
who have,
sure.
they, it's the same thing. It's the same. The one would do it just. Even Marie Curie. There were lots of concurrence and things like that. But it's your own choice to decide to be straight. And they decided, that impressed me very much, because
right,
they were
right.
like that. But I think, on the other hand, I wanted to take her down from this icon yes, and so show. But she's a woman like you and me. I mean, of course, she has something more.
And so beautifully portrayed and so beautifully directed, I think, the way... She's so gentle. I wanted to get to know this woman. I wanted to sit down and have a coffee with
yeah,
her.
Yeah, but exactly what I wanted to reach.
Yeah,
that you.
Wonderful.
And on top, I wanted to show the beauty of science, because I think it's a fascinating world, and I can imagine that, especially at this time. And because really, if you read about certain texts she wrote, it's almost poesy, you know, when she talks about this radiation. I mean, that they would, what I put in the movie, I mean, that they would get up in the night, and they did that a lot, because they were like kids completely. But how is that possible? It radiates from itself. It's so beautiful.
Right,
and
right.
Pierre Curie used to have a small sample of radium in his pocket, you know,
them,
and
yes.
then they would, in the evening, would say, look, you know, like in, it's like, it was like a fairy tale, kind
which
of.
Which kind of ultimately led to her death to some degree, didn't
well,
it?
Well, actually, the what led to her death was what she did after the what I'm telling. I could do 5 movies about Marie Curie,
is
because
right?
the, what wow. what happened, what she did during the First World War was incredible. I mean, I think she had the incentive was as well to show how. How good patriot she was for France too. I mean, she she organized to go to the this is the front,
the front lines,
and
yes.
the front lines,
the
and make that was the beginning of X-rays,
beginning
and
of
then
X-rays.
She organized. She went to all the rich women she knew and said, "Can you give me your big cars and things like that?" And she transformed them in small mobile
X-ray
units,
wow.
and
amazing.
She even. Drove herself. I mean, she learned to drive, and she went with her daughter, Irene,
right.
which was 16 at the time, and she died of that too. And at this time, they had no fucking idea that that was very dangerous. And so these X-rays made what happened in the end. I mean, of course, it was because they did not protect
themselves. Such an
themselves.
Irony. Here she is giving. Here she is attending to others,
yeah.
and in the process, actually dying herself as a result of
yes.
You
but
know,
if
it's
you see,
quite
I mean, they were
beautiful.
Very tough cookies, these Curie people, this Flodowska, because I mean, she became 66. Irene only became 54. But but Eve, the small girl who was very talented for piano. And the only one in the family who did not get a Nobel Prize, but she married a diplomat, and he got the Peace Nobel
wow,
Prize.
Wow.
I mean, I thought I can't believe
this is
it.
A bright family.
Yes, it's a great family.
Family. Yeah.
And she Eve became 104 years old. I mean, you can
wow.
see because
wow.
she never was
she
in
did,
the laboratory.
Well. I love the moment, and you were so careful. Such a diligently careful with this in your filmmaking, I think, how you show how relational she was. And I love the line, life is trivial if you can't think in pairs. Yeah. And clearly there's a scientific reference there, I suppose. But I just, and they have such a beautiful relationship.
Yeah.
Them and their family and their kids, there's a concern for each other and a deep, deep love, her and Pierre. And it's a marvelous thing, I think, to say that here are these people committed and focused on changing the world, but yet deeply and madly in love. Still.
Yes, I think it was a perfect match. I think as I discovered her biography with 12, that was fascinated me. I mean, that you could focus and do what you're passionate about and what you're good for, and at the same time find how do you say in English to find a pair.
I mean, someone you
can completely complementary,
your soulmate.
Yeah. That's what I was looking for, the soulmate. And I thought, how lucky she must have been. I mean, she was not only lucky because she was reflecting about lots of things, and she did see the negative sides of things. But what impressed me very much is that she was a woman, she was always working. I mean, even after she had problems, she lost even a child in between and all that, she would always go very quickly back to the lab because that was absolutely her passion. But she would, I mean, like when she realizes that her daughters are not giving the proper education, she creates this kind of school for them. I mean, and they were these kids, all the groups of, they were all the kids of all the scientists who belonged to this group. And they would go to the Sorbonne. I mean, she was laughed after, you know, all the kids, they come. I mean, they have nothing to do there, especially they were young girls in there, you know, and that was kind of a scandal. And they were taught by Nobel Prize, and they were taught literature too, and was with famous writers. You had Paderewski, a very famous pianist, who taught them music and all that. I mean, they had a kind of, and her concept of that is great, is absolutely great. And it was not a concept which was only theory, but she said you have to know the basics. You have to know how you experience. You have to. To make your fingers.
Well, the question that one of her students said, she came back. He asked this what sounded like kind of a complicated question. He said, "Oh, are you?" And Marie Curie said, "Are you asking me how you make discoveries?"
Yeah.
And then she said, "That's a brilliant question."
Yeah.
And it seems to me they were creating that environment, that theory, the practice. And then even when she talked about how much she hated the school system.
Yeah.
I mean, she was way ahead of her time.
Completely.
You know, the idea of children playing and don't teach them mathematics.
Yeah,
don't
have them learn by heart.
That's right.
Have them understand what they are seeing.
Yeah.
That's something completely else.
Well, and doesn't that make a great scientist?
Yes, but that's all the elements she used in her work, she used in her life too, and I like that, because, I mean, you should not be, I'm the professional, I'm a teacher, or I'm a thing, and then in life I'm an asshole, or I don't know what.
Yeah, she wasn't dualistic,
yeah,
right?
No, you're one person, and you have your convictions, your talents, and you use them there and there, the same way. Of course, with different impacts, but it's, and I think it's a model. It's something
it's a great
we should
model. Well, I think
think
it's a great
about.
Model for. I mean, you definitely show too very well in the film that split between certainly then and probably still today in the scientific community, where you have your hardline kind of you know, factual scientists, and then your other ones that are willing to, you know, challenge the status quo. What did Pierre say to her? She said, "If it's either the devil inside of the radium, or it's indivisible." And he responds and says, "Well, that would contradict all those theories.
But
how dare you, right?"
Yeah. But she was very much like that. I mean, she always gave she had no fear. Once again, that was the core. Yes, she had absolutely no fear of going somewhere where, I mean, she never thought of the consequences of something. I mean, so she was not afraid. I mean, she just sought to the end, systematically. And that, I think, is very impressive. It's, she was very courageous.
Absolutely. Tell me, I love so many great lines in the film and great, beautiful moments, but
most of them are really from her.
From her life.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I have to say, I know that the laboratory that mm-hmm. you from the photos I've seen, you've recreated it very well.
Yes.
But I love the wood. I love the simplicity
of
where these discoveries happened.
Yeah, but that was very important to me. I mean, a lot of people were making it that it looks like that, because I wanted, of course, I had a very very precise concept of
yes.
what images should be. That's why it has a very special aesthetic, the whole movie. And I wanted that from the beginning you have a very sensual image.
Very sensual.
And
yeah.
something which takes you almost in an hypnotic world. I wanted that. I wanted
what
like
is,
it's a traveling.
So the line, the chemistry of the imponderable, is probably my favorite line in the whole movie.
Yeah,
Tell me about that.
I love that too, because it is in this small, which was early invention, this world. But it shows you how poetic she was. And it completely, such line for me, showed the person who is behind. I mean, if she's able to see that, to put together. Because it's the contrary of science. I mean, it can't be imponderable if it is science is facts, like
sure,
you said.
Sure, sure.
And she opened it up. And the same way where she says, but I mean, which principle are we going to use if that is not anymore possible? Because everything was changing. Because, of course, with the relativity and the quantums, which basically until today, relativity and quantum are still not really compatible, everything was put, so they were like not a vacuum, because it was full of things, but it was like on the moon, I mean, you have no gravity anymore. It's kind of all the things are moving. And she was very at ease in there.
I was just going to say, she was okay with that as a scientist.
Completely, because she considered it like her work.
She almost wanted to purposely sort of break out of the structure. She knew
yeah.
that the structure was limiting.
Yeah, but she was the one who I mean, especially, I mean, that she creates the word radioactive. I mean, it was her invention. The first element she discovered, they called it polonium because
yeah.
it was the thing. Basically, polonium was a very, very, it's a very dangerous element. I mean, radium is less dangerous than polonium. But it was less interesting to work on because it disintegrated very quickly. So you could not really investigate more. So that's why radium became the most important. I don't know. Did I answer the question?
Yeah, no. Do you know what? We're having a wonderful conversation. I'm not too worried about you answering the questions. So I can't remember who it was. I think it was her who said, quote, altruism and integrity are essential parts of our work.
Yes.
So do you think, you commented a little bit about it earlier on in the interview, do you think that the scientific community, do you think that our pursuit of knowledge now still has that DNA? How's that from it all?
Well, I know quite a few scientists and quite a few new who are in the Academy of Science and things like that, and I know they are like that. But of course, you have others. I mean, generally, I think our world has become commercialized.
Mm.
So, and this commercialization of world has done that you forget about this integrity. I mean, or you just don't want to hear about it. You think you have it, but you might be a little bit corrupted. And I wanted to remind it. I mean, for me, it's what I'm saying about scientist or what she says about science and things like that, you can just take it one-to-one for normal people in normal life. Because I think that's as well things not only scientists should have, but each person should have. I think it's very important, no matter what you do and no matter what, because in the end, you're alone with yourself. So I think you should not, you should really try to be straight and not try to play something you're not. And that is what I'm talking about with integrity. And they were like that because there was she was absolutely like that. And she was a free spirit. And that
absolutely,
really,
yeah.
really impressed me, because I would like to have myself this freedom of souls. Of course, with a capacity which took her to fields.
Well, this is becoming fully human, it seems to me, to be able to have that kind of freedom and to run into it.
Yes, but how many people, that's why the courage of knowledge, because how many people dare to go this way? And I think if it inspire people to go there. There was yesterday two persons which really, I mean, by the showing, who were very nice. They came to me, an old lady first, and she said, because she had been working for the Institut Curie in Canada, she said, oh, it was so nice because I was in this lab. Wow. And I said, but it does not exist anymore. I said, yes, but you reconstructed it so well. It was like I had the feeling I'm in my youth. So I was very touched by her. And she said, but don't you want to tell as well the story afterwards? Because afterwards, it's a beautiful story, the story of Marie Curie, which she had no means to go on. It's like a filmmaker, you know, you never have money to do the next movie. She had no money because radium was quite expensive to go on. She had too little. She had given so many people samples without money, but afterwards, nobody would give it to her. That's life. But she would not complain. She just found someone who organized a charity in America. And she came to America. She gave conferences. She built up people because she would always build up people. She would always transmit her knowledge to others. That's as well a courage because, you know, absolutely. She was not saying, so my knowledge, so I keep it like that and I'm going to sell it. Not
sure.
All. Yeah. She would give it. She would be very generous. She was, that's why she wanted transmissions. That's why I have this last image. I mean, it's transmission with her daughter, but it's a general image of, I think it's very important what you learn in life to transmit
of them walking
it. Yes.
Down the hall and she
and
back.
Picking one.
It's a beautiful moment. It really is.
And that was an image I wrote first on my.
Sadly, we have to wrap up the interview. Yeah. I think you have to move on. Maybe we can do part two down the road. But you talk about, and I think it's historically accurate, the Curie therapy.
Yes.
They actually called it that.
Yes.
That
was
for cancer treatment.
It was cancer therapy, which was one the most successful cancer therapy until the 60s.
Could that have been a title for the film?
That's interesting.
Do you know what seems to me, Marie Noelle, is that we all could use with a little more?
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Therapy, I mean, I never thought about that, but I think it's a nice. I mean, why not? It would be nice, anyhow, that this movie does you good. And that's why I wanted to this song in the end, which makes you feel dynamic.
Well, and I love the credit sequence, too, by the way. I'm not going to say anything more about it, maybe, because we'll tip your hat a little bit too much, but it's absolutely brilliant, and I'm so glad I stayed for it. Congratulations, and thank you. I mean, your film is so, in a way, not about Marie Curie. It's about relationships. It's about knowledge and science and philosophy
and
wonder and family, and the list goes on. Thank you so much for your time today with me. And it's the world premiere.
It was a world premiere. I was very excited yesterday.
I bet
to
you were,
see
yeah.
like that.
Mm. Yeah, Marie Curie, The Courage of Knowledge, here with the filmmaker and director, Marie Noelle. Thank you again for your time.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.